The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, February 26th, 2012, for those listening live, and obviously some other time if you're listening to the recording. Welcome, one and all. It is bright, sunny, and cold here today. And that's no secret if you're in the neighborhood, and if you're not, then it's news. Not necessarily newsworthy, but news. So before I jump into the topic here today, as usual, let's make some connection. And as we begin, the connection to make first is always to our own divinity, to our own mastery, to our own higher self, soul over soul, whatever the term is that works for you. And whatever the pathway that is for you, allow yourself to breathe in and connect through that pathway. Open to a more complete, more filling experience of your divinity. Let your divinity expand into your entire physical body, your entire emotional body, your entire mental body. And allow it, and I'll use the word leak, allow it to leak out into your relationships with others. Allow it to spread beyond the connection that you have with yourself and infuse the energy of those relationships that you have with everyone else in your life. Because those connections are ultimately the next place that we take this sharing of our divinity, this exposing of ourselves. And we'll talk about that more as the show goes on today. Let's expand our connections, however consciously here, before we go there, and connect down more fully with our Mother Earth. Allow yourself to receive the energy of the Mother Earth up into your energy field. And again, be open to receiving that on all levels, physically, emotionally, mentally, and even spiritually. And as you do that, allow your own divinity and your own personal energy to be shared down with your mother, with the Mother Earth, with your Mother Earth. Our experience of the earth is definitely personal to each of us. And the more we can open up both to the receiving and to the giving, I believe the better planet we're going to be living on. All right. Let's expand out yet again. This time into connection with those beings who are not in physical body, but who are our guides and angels, our the ascended masters that we work with, our teachers and mentors in spirituality and self-empowerment. And again, open up to allow yourself to be more aware of that presence that is always with you, of these beings, that support that is always there. And just let that flow into you. And again, receive on each level, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And allow that energy to aid the expansion of your connection with your own divine energy, of your connection with our Mother Earth. All of these levels work together. And allow yourself to share your gratitude with these beings of light, these non-incarnate beings who have so much to give to us and who give so much to us when we allow it. And give thanks for the awareness that they're there so that we can give that thanks, so that we can open to that receiving. All right, now let's expand out to the community in body who are connecting through this particular experience, this particular internet radio show. And whether you're listening live or to the recording, the connection to this community is always on, shall we say. Everyone who connects through this particular episode of the show is connecting in non-linear time, and that community is always there every time we connect in with these energies. So allow yourself to open to that, to receiving that shared energy of intention for empowerment, that shared energy of intention for mastery. And feel the lift from that. Feel the energetic, well, comradeship, community, from having others who are not only like-minded, and I definitely like this term better than like-minded, like-hearted, seeking from the heart to expand into these divine realms, into these divine connections. And in connecting with those who are like-hearted, it makes it easier for me, and I believe all of us, to open our own hearts, to let down some of our defenses, to share some of what we normally would hide. And again, this goes back to the goal of the show, exposing the masters within. Whatever we're hiding from the world, we're also hiding from ourselves. And so this helps us to open that by finding that community that would seek mastery. And let's expand out once more. And this time, it is in the connection with all of those who are light workers, all of those who are walking this path of conscious empowerment on the planet right now. Whether we ever will meet them personally, individually, directly, whether we even speak the same language is completely irrelevant. Everyone who is walking this path is feeding the energy of the mass consciousness of empowerment, the mass consciousness of awakening, the mass consciousness of mastery. And so as we open out into that, we're opening, yes, to the individuals, but more so even, we're opening to that community. And in that community, there is that much more support, that much more a sense that it's safe to open ourselves. And so again, as we connect in with that community, allow yourself to just have that intention to open your heart more fully, to let down some of those walls of protection, and to shine your light forth a little bit more powerfully into the world. Very good. Thank you for joining me and joining this community of conscious creators, for that's where we're desiring to go. And that, to me, is one of the best definitions of what it means to be a master, is to step more and more fully into consciously creating our experiences. And when something arises in our lives that we weren't looking for consciously, that we step into consciously creating how we handle it, how we deal with it, how we look at it, etc. And so, whether it's apparent in what I've said so far or how I guided you through those particular pieces that we typically start with, the topic today is about sharing, but it's more specifically about not sharing. And so what I'm going to start with, the word for the day, if you will, the topic for today is the topic of secrets. And I can't remember much of my childhood, so I don't remember the first time that someone shared a secret with me. But I do have this echo in me of what it was like to be a kid and share secrets. And we'll talk about secrets that really are not good secrets to hold on to later. But what I want to start with here is that innocent kind of secret. But there's a thrill, and that's the echo that I'm talking about. There's a thrill to knowing something that maybe you're not supposed to know. And part of it is about, well, I would say it is about connecting to being worthy enough to know the secret. And there's something in that need for approval and that need for finding our self-worth that feels really good about that. That feels really good about being deemed worthy to hear the secret. And it doesn't matter how silly the secret might be. From the adult perspective, many of the secrets that children share amongst themselves are going to seem pretty silly. Not that important. But the importance is not so much, I would say, in the actual secret itself, but in the process of sharing secrets or keeping secrets. And again, I'm not talking about the kind of secrets that don't really serve to be held. I'm talking about silly things. So-and-so likes so-and-so. That was a secret in grade school. You know, before there was ever dating, there were crushes. And kids not really knowing what that meant, although I don't know if kids today really don't know what that meant. But when I was growing up, there was just this, oh, I like her, or I like him. But that wasn't something that you could tell that person, for God's sake. That was something that was a secret that you might share with your friend. That they might share with you. And so again, there's an energy there of worthiness, and it was almost a mark of friendship that if you were my friend at the deepest level, then I could share things with you I wouldn't share with others. And I think that continues on into adulthood, that we have levels of what we're willing to share and with whom we're willing to share it. And that continues into adulthood. We have, well, this was after I was a child, but the BFF, best friends forever kind of thing, where, again, the secret connection would be something that would cement that. Even though it's not necessarily likely that that happens all that often, where two people become friends as children and stay best friends forever, shall we say. But that energy of shared mystery, of something shared that you're not going to share with the rest of the world, is a powerful, well, I'll exaggerate here for effect. It's a powerful drug, if you will. And on the flip side of that were the ones who were specifically excluded from the secret, and often to their face. And I don't know if everyone out there listening would have this, but there certainly is the stereotype that kids can be cruel. And part of that is kids in their honesty, what they are willing to say because they don't know any better. They don't know to hide it. But also kids in their exclusion, I'm going to be friends with you, so I'll share my secret with you, and I'll let the kid know that we are not friends with, that we are sharing secrets. And I'll let that kid know that we're not friends with, that I'm sharing secrets about him or her with my friends. And so the secret becomes a thing that also can be a weapon. A weapon. And that's the way the game is played, presumably. And let's take a step further, grow up a little bit from childhood and that kind of secret. And let's talk about part of what's happening on the planet right now. And it is the exposing of the hidden knowledge, so to speak, that which needed to be kept from the masses, supposedly, and yet now is finding its way out. Hence the title of the book and the associated other materials of The Secret itself. And that secret being about the law of attraction. But it goes much further than just that one thing. This hidden knowledge that was passed down from master to apprentice through the mystery schools, etc., is now out there in the world to varying degrees and in varying formats. And so one of the things that is happening right now on the planet is the exposing of secrets. And I think that bodes very well for where we're going. Because that which is hidden is often used to dominate. It's often used to do things that are outside of integrity. And if you look at various scandals, political, corporate, etc., where things are hidden and they go on behind closed doors and they are kept secret, it's so that those secrets can be used in ways that don't benefit everyone. And in ways that, in many cases, are quite contradictory to everyone's benefit, the benefit of the few at the expense of the many. And this is not also the primary way that I'm going when it comes to this topic of secrets. It's not the end point here. But it points to a shift in consciousness that's taking place. And there have even been some channelings that I have done where people have asked questions about this and that, and some channelings that I'm aware of that others have done. And one of the things that they're talking about is an expanding and accelerating energy of exposing secrets, government secrets, corporate secrets, personal secrets, that is going to be part of the shakeout, if you will, that needs to take place as the shift in consciousness on the planet takes place. And so that kind of brings us to where I primarily wanted to focus today, which is on that aspect of secrets that is personal. And it is adult. And by the time it's adult, it's most often not innocent any longer, shall we say. What we hide from others, I believe, has most to do with what we don't like to look at in ourselves. And what we feel the need to hide from others has to do with the energy, I believe, of not so much or just our guilt, but our shame. And before I go further, I just want to make the distinction that I tend to make in thinking about those two terms. And they relate to each other, but they're definitely not the same thing. And so when I'm talking about guilt, what I'm talking about is the feeling that arises when an action that we take has unintended consequences, or in some cases, intended consequences that are negative to another person. And we feel guilty because they have experienced harm or something negative in whatever level. And we, in some sense, are culpable. We are responsible for that. It was our action or inaction that allowed or caused that to take place. And so we feel guilty. So that's guilt. And that's about action or inaction. But it is about choices we've made, perhaps might be another way to put it. Whereas shame, as I would define it, is that experience that there's something wrong with us. It's not attached specifically to anything we've done or not done. To me, shame is the most direct access we have to our underlying experience of separation from divinity, which by its very nature, I know I've touched on this a lot of times, but by its very nature, because we do not have the direct experience, the complete experience of our divinity, we do not know our sense of worthiness, and shame is the result. That's what the unworthiness is as that energy is moving through us. It's shame. I'm not good enough. I don't deserve. And that, to me, is where the more adult version of secrets comes from, I believe. It's the things that we are ashamed of that we try to hide from others, and we even try to hide from ourselves. We don't want to think about it or look at it, etc. And again, another stereotype of this is that stereotype when it comes to people who are sexually abusing or molesting children, often they will turn that shared experience with the child. And I didn't say consciously chosen experience, I said shared because it's hidden. It's hidden away, it's the child with the adult. And they will turn that into a secret. We have to keep this as a secret because others wouldn't understand. We have to keep this as a secret. This is just between you and me. This is special here, etc. And that's a perfect example of this kind of shame causing things to be hidden. Because the adult who knows it's wrong may have tons of rationalizations for stepping into the behavior, and if not the rationalizations, then at least some sort of compulsion in them that causes them to do that. But at the same time, there is some level of knowing that this is a wrong thing to do. And so getting an agreement from the child to keep it a secret is a perfect protection for that. It also allows it to be perpetuated. Now, that's an extreme version of what I think we all do with ourselves, with others. If you think about, in your life, those things that you have kept secret. Now, again, I want to make a distinction here. I don't believe it serves us to share everything with anyone. Now, let me explain further what I mean by that. First of all, I think that when we are connecting with other people, mentioned this at other times, but when we are connecting with other people, we tend to have natural boundaries of what kinds of things we're willing to talk about with certain kinds of people in our lives, whether they are friends or acquaintances, whether this is a partner or a family. And even further than that, there are individual distinctions among our friends, what we can talk about and what we can't talk about, which pieces are being talked about with which person, depend upon how safe we feel with them and how much we want to reveal or expose ourselves to them. Some of that's circumstantial. It would be very invasive if we went and shared our deepest issues with the person who was checking us out at the grocery store. It's us dumping all kinds of energy onto this person who has no connection to us, who has no reason to hear this. And so we're not likely to do that. Although having worked in not the grocery store setting, but having worked in a setting where I was kind of contained by my job in a set place where I couldn't move and other people were moving around me, I had lots of people come and tell me all their problems. Now, I think that's partly just the energy that I carry that turned into me doing this kind of work, but it was also the product of just being there, and I couldn't move, and these people did not know me, and so I was safe to share their secrets with in a way that they wouldn't necessarily do with, oh, an acquaintance, but someone they saw on a regular basis, or in some cases even with certain of their friends. They would talk to me about their problems, and since I didn't just send them on their way, they felt that was okay, I guess. But that also speaks to this question of why do we keep these secrets? Why do we hold back what we're sharing? I would say it has to do, first and foremost, with that energy of shame. Now, some people, I know I heard growing up this phrase, you should be ashamed of yourself. Both directed at me, and I don't think I ever said that to anyone, but certainly I heard it directed at others. And I would say that that is a statement that is wrong on so many counts. You've got a should in there, which I believe is one of the worst words in the human language, one of the most distorted things that we can do to ourselves. And you've got, it's like a curse. It's like a curse. You should be ashamed of yourself. You should feel yourself to be completely unworthy. You should feel yourself to be completely worthless. That's, I'd rather have someone cuss me out than say that to me. Now, not that at this point in my life I couldn't tell them to go jump, or I couldn't, you know, block the energy of the attack that would be coming with that. But you should be ashamed of yourself is horrible in its judgment. It's so extreme. And it's the person making the statement essentially taking power in the situation and saying that they have the right to judge you if that statement's coming at you or whoever it might be that it's directed at. And here we come to another piece for me of why we keep secrets, because we're afraid of that kind of judgment being tossed at us. Because that's at our core, at some level, sits an energy of shame, some degree of it, because that's what that core experience of separation is. It's I'm not good enough. I'm unworthy. There's something wrong with me. And that's based on our very existence. It has nothing to do with what we do. And so for me, these things are all linked together. Now, why? What good does it do to bring this up and talk about? Well, first of all, I believe there is a great freedom that I've experienced myself and I've seen it in others that comes from taking those things that we once held in shame very close to ourselves and letting them see the light of day. I'm certainly not here to do this show every week as some sort of confessional. I'm not looking for forgiveness from you. I'm not looking for vindication of anything I've done, etc. But there is, when we can bring things that we are ashamed of up to the light of day and share them, and again, in a safe place with a safe person or safe people, shall we say, not just to anyone and everyone out there, but in a place that feels safe to us with a person that feels safe to us, then I believe we can free ourselves from this shame. And when I say feel safe, it's someone that in the majority of cases is not going to sit in judgment of us. And of course that requires discernment, and that requires some sort of history, if you will. But I can say that that is a huge, huge gift when we have it. And I can give you a specific example. I periodically mention, maybe more than any of you would like to hear, but I have periodically mentioned on the show having been sexually molested. Well, the first time I was able to share that with another person, I can remember the sense of relief. I can remember at the same time as I was feeling that tremendous shame that it had happened, that tremendous sense of horror that it had happened. And I wasn't able to share it until I was in my 20s, late 20s. But I can remember at the same time as feeling that huge, horrible, negative thing about myself, feeling the relief of being able to say it. And I'm very grateful that I can talk about it now, because not only is it something that I can share without going back into the shame of it, but it's something that when I share it, when I have shared it in sessions or on the show, it's about making a point. And it's about opening up possibilities. And if I can talk about this, then you know, maybe things that are less horrific than that can be shared and moved past. And so when I talk about this, or when I talk about other experiences I've had that touch upon shame, or that have been in the realm of secrets, I've hidden these things away to some degree, it is, or can be, tremendously cathartic. And so I offer that out there as an example. Not to tell you, go share your deep, dark secrets, but to say, you know, you might want to consider it. And consider which person or people in your life it would be safe enough to do that with. And which things you would next be ready to share. And again, it's not about, as some would say, bearing your soul and just sharing everything with everyone, but it's about picking and choosing and discerning when is the right time to share what and what is the context. And maybe it is about going to a healer, whether that's an alternative healer of some kind, whether that's a psychiatrist or a psychologist, and talking about it in that context is a way to do that as well. It doesn't have to be someone that is a personal friend. It can be a professional relationship, but there is such a tremendous empowerment that can come from unburdening ourselves of these secrets, of these things that we hold on to as shameful that we have done. And I believe that, and this comes to mind now, as an example, I believe that this is a part of what, and not having been in the 12-step program, I'm only going from what I've seen on TV shows. But I don't know. I think it's around step 8 somewhere that, and I don't know that I'm saying the right term. I can't get this term out of my head. But when the person in the 12-step program is going to make amends, okay, that's the word. The word that was in my head was reparations, but similar ballpark, but not the same thing. Make amends. And it's part of that, of saying, you know, this is something I was trying to hide from myself, keep a secret, that I mistreated you in this way, and now I'm taking responsibility for it. And in doing so, I'm seeking to change the energy here. And if I, again, I've not read the book, I've not been in a 12-step program, so I can't know for certain, but one of the, at least the stereotypes of that has to do with making amends except when that would make things worse. In other words, going to someone that you believe you have hurt in some way is only going to make things worse for them, then you choose not to do it. But getting this up and out is taking a weight off of ourselves. Whatever those activities are that we have done, and now I'm kind of going to join guilt and shame, because I believe every time we feel guilty, we also feel ashamed. I believe we can feel shame without guilt, but I believe that every time we do feel guilty, shame is also triggered. And so one way to work with our shame is to work with our guilt. Because if I've done something that, again, and for the most part, I've asked this question of many, many, many people. So I'll ask it as something that you might ask yourself. When was the last time that you did an action, that you took an action, where the sole purpose, the only purpose you had in taking that action was to harm someone else? I have yet to find a single person who can give me an answer. Other than, I don't know, or I don't remember doing such a thing, etc. And I believe the reason for that, that they can't come up with anything, that no one has ever been able to come up with anything, is that that's not how we act. I truly believe it has been stated over and over and over again in channeling sessions, and it's one of my core beliefs about us in body on this planet at this time, and throughout time for that matter, is that within the context of what we know, of what we've been taught, of what we have experienced in our lives, we, each and every one of us, will do the absolute best that we can in every single moment. And that energy of regret, which is wishing we could go back and change something, do something differently, is not letting go of or acknowledging what I believe to be this basic truth, that we always do the best that we can. And that includes in the context of how much of our unworthiness, how much separation we're actually experiencing from our divinity, so how much unworthiness we feel, which is also how much shame that we're feeling. And this is not, for most of us, I believe, something that sits at the top of our consciousness most of the time. I believe it's more like the background. I believe it's more what's going on in the unconscious. I believe it's more what happens in all those circumstances where we do what some would call self-sabotage, where we don't fulfill our potential. Well, why? Because I believe that underneath it all is that sense of unworthiness, and we don't believe we deserve whatever the success might bring us. Or we believe that we aren't worthy enough to have it, and so we're afraid of losing it or being found out as being frauds. Do you have any idea? And again, I've worked with thousands of people. I believe that most of us on some level have a fear of being found out, that we are going to be found out that we are not as good as other people think we are. Not as smart, not as talented, not as whatever, not as wise. I believe most of us have that to some degree. And again, it comes back right here to this energy of shame and the energy of secrets. If so-and-so knew this about me, how could they continue to like me or love me? There's a phrase that comes to mind that we hear. It's for your own good. And I think we use that as a justification a lot of the time. Well, it's for her own good that I don't tell her this. Really? Really? I think that's rarely the case. And while I can appreciate that step in in the 12-step programs of making amends, trying to take into consideration what the other person is going to experience if we come to them and try to make amends, where it could bring something much worse than what they're currently experiencing. Or, again, there is certainly a frame of mind, for instance, that has to do with infidelity, that even when someone has cheated on a spouse, if the relationship is over, in many cases, the advice is going to be not to tell the spouse that got cheated on that this happened, because that's, well, again, another cliche comes to mind. That's adding insult to injury. It's only going to hurt the person more to know that it took place than to not know. And again, I'm not here to judge anyone's particular choices or say what is right or wrong in a universal sense. But I find it hard to believe in most cases that holding on to guilt and holding on to shame are going to make for a better relationship. And that if the relationship, the partnership, can't hold up under honesty, and there's something going on, or the infidelity wouldn't be happening in the first place. Some needs are not being met one way or another. And not being met means they're not being addressed. Anyway, don't mean to get sidetracked into that one specific, but it certainly is another place to look at how we hold on to secrets, why and when, and the questions that come up with this, because they are, you know, are we going to tell the other person our secret as a confession because we're seeking absolution from them, forgiveness from them? Some people would go to the spouse to do that. Others would go to the spouse to seek punishment. Again, we have this program underneath it all of unworthiness until we're directly experiencing our divinity all the time. So some of us do that kind of self-sabotage and we'll go and confess our supposed sin to get punished for it because I would say, can't stand getting away with it. The sooner that we're punished, the better. And it's an interesting pattern, this pattern of secrets. And so a couple of things that we can do. One, first one is to notice. Increased awareness is always the first step, is to notice when we're hesitating or what we're hiding and to ask ourselves why. What is it about this particular bit of information that is causing us to say, ooh, I got to hold this back? Are we trying to protect ourselves? Are we trying to protect the one that we're talking to? Is it not that level of relationship? Well, again, there's no right or wrong answer here, and I'm not advising complete exposure to everyone. But in the relationships that are most important to us, the more we can expose the truth of ourselves, the deeper those relationships can go, the better they can be. And if they can't handle that exposure, well, then maybe the relationship was not as good or as deep or as enduring as we had thought. And it's not that we did something wrong in sharing those secrets or in opening those closed doors to share. But it's that those relationships were built on what we used to think of our worthiness. And as we step into a higher level of willingness to share ourselves, as we are willing to share more of our secrets and let them go, let them no longer be secrets, then we need to get a higher level of relationship where there is a deeper level of honesty, where there is a more complete openness. And I don't know that it's ever possible to be 100%, and honesty is not the right word, 100% sharing with any other individual, no matter how close we are to them. Because in order to do that, they would literally have to live inside our skins and live our life rather than theirs. And so I don't think 100% sharing is even possible. Most of what we share is what seems to be what's most important. And yet it's interesting that in many cases, what we're sharing is not really that important. It's the act of sharing that is important, that creates the depth. Which is why with those who are most important to us, I think, yes, we can talk on a deeper level, but we also want to know the little details of their life. The cliche of the husband or the wife coming home and the conversation between them being, how was your day? And yes, that can be a very surface kind of thing, but it can also be because the more we care about someone, the more we want to know about them, the greater the depth that we would desire to share at. And so another thing that we can do, other than that awareness and asking that question or those questions of, you know, why am I hiding? What is it I'm hiding? You know, is it actually necessary to hide this or beneficial? Another thing that we can do is continuing that journey of self-forgiveness. Because as we let go of the guilt and shame, again, my personal belief, they are linked. And as we feel guilty for something we've done or not done that inflicted harm or created harm or co-created harm, as we move that, we can also move some of the shame with it. Especially because it takes an act of stepping into our power, of stepping into our own sense of value to even do self-forgiveness. We have to consciously choose to step into a piece of our sense of value in order to choose self-forgiveness. And so again, I know I've shared this tool times before, but the most powerful tool for forgiveness, self or otherwise, is I'm willing to forgive. And if it is myself, I'm willing to forgive myself. And if it is for a specific action, we can always add a phrase about that action, the specific thing that we're seeking forgiveness for. But here's the key to forgiveness. We can't do it directly, which is why this phrase, the important word in this phrase is I'm willing. I am willing to forgive myself. I'm willing to forgive you. Because what we're doing with the willingness is we're opening the door for forgiveness to happen. Forgiveness is letting go. And I guess the best way to describe it is it's letting go of the grudge. Judgment, resentment, doesn't matter. Essentially the same thing. We're letting go of that grudge against ourselves, that judgment of ourselves, that resentment of ourselves. We're letting go of that toward the other person. We're opening the cage that we're holding that judgment, that grudge, that pain, that resentment in, so that it can leak away. We don't have to do the forgiveness. We have to allow the forgiveness. And so that's the best tool to work with this in terms of moving the guilty aspect, so to speak, the guilt aspect, and continuing forward. That and breathing. As always. So the 30-second commercial announcement here. Let me see what day of the week it is. Just refresh my memory here. Thursday, March 8th, is the next gateway activation, the next full moon. And on that day, we will be activating the gateway of passion. So that will be up sometime soon. That will be out sometime soon, but just so you know, mark your calendars if you'd like to join us for that. Expanding that expression, that powerful expression of passion in our lives. All right, so let's go in and see what they would offer us in the channel today. As always, allow your breathing to deepen while I do some toning and they adjust the frequencies so we can have this part of the experience. So, Oh, dear ones, this is Archangel Michael come to be with you today. Welcome. We are here with this topic, with this energy, with this particular expression today to bring strength, to bring courage, to bring power, to help to open the power inside of you, to help to open you into the power that will allow you to let go, that will allow you to forgive, that will allow you to feel your own divinity in everything that you have ever done, in everything that you have ever experienced. You have been divine. You may not have felt it, the others around you may not have felt it, but it is the truth. And so breathe that in. I am divine now, and I have been divine in every single moment before this. And if you wish to extend it in every other lifetime, in every single moment in that lifetime as well. And let that permeate you. And again, give yourself permission to stop hiding away. One of the great ironies of this hiding is that you're looking out at the world and perceiving or believing that everyone else loves themselves, their self, more than you love yourself. Everyone else knows their worth more than you know your own. That is not true. Certainly there are some out there who do. There are always some who are no more or no less than you do in every area of knowledge. But when it comes to the area of self-knowledge, when it comes to the area of self-love, until one has that full experience of their divinity, there is always the doubt and the unworthiness underneath. There is always the energy of the shame. And with the energy of the shame comes the energy of needing to keep it secret, to keep it hidden. But when you can choose in your courage, in your strength, in your power to step forth and say, I do not need to hide myself away. I do not need to hide this aspect of myself away. Then you magnify your power, your true power. That which passes for so much power out there is about control. It's about dominance. It is not true power. This is true power we are talking about. Which is, in many ways, the value of the Catholic confessional. Just to get it off your chest, to get it out of your field. It is not to have the priest say you're forgiven. It is for you to step into the space of forgiving yourself. And the first step of that is always connecting with the fact that you are judging yourself. And it doesn't matter what metric you are using in your judgment. If you're using the Ten Commandments and you've broken one of them, if you're using the law book and you've broken one of them, if you're using your own conscience and you've gone against one of your own inner beliefs about the right way to be in the world, it is all irrelevant. What matters is when you notice that you are in that self-judgment, when you notice that you are in that self-condemnation, when you notice that you are fighting with yourself, then you have the power to make a change, to go in and to claim your divinity and to take your divinity into that self-judgment like a wind. And it can be a gentle wind, it can be barely a whisper, or it can be like a hurricane. But when you bring your own direct experience of your divinity, as much as that might be, as small as that might be, when you bring that to bear upon your self-judgment, you create freedom, you create space, you create openness to express even more of your divinity. So whenever you are doing this, whenever you go, as some would say, head to head with your self-judgment, head to head with your shame, head to head with your experience of unworthiness, you are always going to magnify your power. First, because you are stepping into your power more fully to even go to that place, to go head to head with yourself, with the part of yourself that is holding in judgment and limitation. But even more so, because as you let go of that judgment and limitation, you open the room for more of your divinity to come forth. And so, exposing your shame leads to exposing more of your mastery. That is the paradox, yet another on this path. And so, how to expose it? How to expose it is conditional, it is circumstantial, it is in the moment. It is both about with whom you might expose yourself, and where and when and how you might expose yourself, how you share these truths. But the ultimate ideal to remember in all of this is that you have been divine in every single moment. And so in every single action that you have found your shame and your guilt, everything you have held on to as a perfect example of your unworthiness, that you sit in self-judgment about, every single moment of those experiences, you were still divine. You were still doing the best that you could. And by all means, if you could go back there and make the choice based on who you are now, you might choose differently. But that's not the point, because you can't. What is done is done. But what you have the power to do now is to forgive yourself and to claim your divinity and bring that in underneath the guilt into the shame and to free you from both. And every time you do this, if you so choose, I will walk this path with you to give you added strength, added power, added courage. So. We would say a phrase that some of you say. It used to be much more common. Go with God. But in truth, what that statement is go with yourself. Go with your divinity. Go with your mastery. Much love to each of you, dear ones. Namaste. Okay, I'm back. Didn't mean to yawn in your ears. Well, Doug, you can start those chimes up whenever you like. I want to thank each and every one of you for co-creating with me here today, for helping me to bring forth what we all needed to experience. Well, as always, it is co-creation, so please, feedback is always appreciated. What you like, what you don't like, what you'd like more of, what you'd like less of, guests, topics, questions, any and all of it is good. Let me know. And I will be back, same time, same place on the internet, different place in geography. I will be on the road in Springfield, Missouri next week. If any of you are listening out there in that area, come and join me live as a guest, as my audience, and perhaps co-creators that day, consciously and directly with questions. We shall see what happens. As always, I hope that you'll join me again next week when I'm somewhere else, but here with you. You never know where this show's going to go. You never know where you're going to go. Let yourself open up this week. Share a little more of yourself. Expose yourself a little more fully. And, well, go with the God within. Namaste, everyone.